We started, I guess we'll call it a series now, that's the second time. But yesterday we spoke about the Sefer Nachal Eson and different things that we learned about Ruchaim Kanievsky from that Sefer. And today I'd like to move on to the next Sefer, or another Sefer, called the Brisa de Melechus HaMishkan and the Taima de Kra. Now, this is, okay, I have an old version. Now it's two volumes and it's much fatter. But the Brisa de Melechus HaMishkan is a Brisa, like Reb Chaim writes in the Hakdama, that most people don't even know about it or have learned it. But it's a Brisa that discusses many of the details of the Maisa Mishkan, of building the Mishkan. And he says it's an important thing to learn, but because a lot of the details are all over the place, so again, he quotes in the Hakdama, like he did in the Nachal Eson, the Sefer Chasidim, that says that when there's something that no one's learning, it's like a meis mitzvah, and you have to go ahead and try to learn it. And therefore, he decided to write a peirush on it and collect from all over the place the different achronim and poskim on it. He said, once I was learning it, I also had a few chidushim. So I threw those in as well. So that's the Brisa de Melechus HaMishkan. The Taima de Kra is on the Chumash. It's a sefer on the Chumash. Now, why did he put them two together? Okay, he did publish svarim that were thin. It's not like he had to put these two books together. He could have made two thin ones. Okay, now it's two fat ones, but it could have been two thin ones. Why did he have to put it together? So, one reason he said was because he wanted it to be tuffel to the Brisa de Melechus HaMishkan. He wanted it to be like secondary, maybe he thought people wouldn't buy the Brisa de Melechus HaMishkan if it was just on its own, so he put it with the Chumash. And then he said a second reason, which is the one that's spoken about much more often, and he said that he didn't want to put out a sefer on Chumash just alone. Just things that he, it was based on Drash and Agada. We'll see what it is. It's mamish, an unbelievable sefer. But he said he didn't want to put that on his own, and he would quote that the Or Sameach is famous for two svarim that he wrote. One is the Or Sameach. The Or Sameach is on the Rambam. And the second set of svarim that the Or Sameach wrote is the Meshech Chachma, which is on the Chumash. And the Or Sameach first published his Or Sameach on the Rambam. What they say is because they didn't want to be known as like a Chumash guy, you know, someone who just writes on the Chumash, and that's why he put out the Or Sameach on the Rambam. But the Meshech Chachma on the Chumash is way more famous and used than the Or Sameach on the Rambam. But in order to like set the tone, he put out the Or Sameach on the Rambam, and that was another reason that Reb Kanievsky said that that's why he's putting this together with the Brisa de Melechus HaMishkan, not to just put a Sefer on Chumash on its own. He even once said that Reb Chaim Brisker, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, he wouldn't give a haskama to a sefer just on Chumash because he felt that, you know, a melus wasn't put into it. It's a person puts in some nice ideas, etc. So he wouldn't put a haskama on it. But a sefer on Pilpul, even if he didn't think it was 100% correct, he'd give a haskama to it because he saw the a melus that went into it. So therefore, he said, you know, for that same reason, I'm not going to put this sefer in it by itself. But just to appreciate this sefer time of the Krah, Rav Chatzkel Abramsky, when he read it, he said that only a yachid in our door could have written such a thing. Okay, this isn't Torah connections here. I'm saying, you know, what I'm saying this is only a yachid in the door could have written the sefer. So when someone went back to Reb Chaim to tell him, he said, you know, Reb Chatzkel Abramsky said that only a yachid bedor could have written this thing. He said, yeah, it's because I quote sometimes things that I heard from the Chazon Ish that no one else knew. So that's why they're excited about it. But it had nothing to do with the things that I wrote. When did he think of these ideas on the Chumash? So he said he used to think about this ben gavra le gavra, meaning on Shabbos, during Kriyas HaTorah, when one guy would finish his Aliyah, and the next time he was about to get his Aliyah, he'd think about things on the Chumash, and Motzei Shabbos, he'd go ahead and write it. In fact, this isn't just on Chumash, it's on also Navi, and it's also on the Megillah. So Megillah's Esther specifically has a tremendous amount, and kept on coming out every year, more and more and more and more Megillah's Esther. And the reason was because some hold that on Purim, you're supposed to try to avoid doing malacha. So therefore, he would write only the Inyanei Hayom, and that therefore he specifically spent more time learning Megillas Esther on Purim, and therefore had a lot more to write, and therefore he had a lot He had a lot on that. And there are incredible things in here. Okay, there are some things he quotes from the Chazon Ish, and he quotes things from the Stipler. Maybe I'll mention a couple from this week's Parsha just to bring us in a little bit. But like we said yesterday, it was Kol HaTorah Kula going into every letter that was either missing or added, or why this word wrote this way and that. Like, it's unbelievable. It's words that we would just like skim past, you know, not even pay attention. Kol HaTorah Kula in there. One of the chizuks that I get when I learn Talmud Kra is you just see how vast the Torah is when you're just learning a simple pasuk. You know, think questions that I wouldn't even, sometimes I wouldn't even ask it because I think there's no way there's an answer to this. He's finding a Yerushalmi in Shkalim that now explains this pasuk. It's absolutely incredible how he brings everything all into the Torah over here. He quotes interesting in Parshas Pinchas. Okay, I'm going to tell you a few things that he writes in here. Because there's no end. We could learn Talmud Kra forever. And if I had a later version, I'd be able to tell you more. But I haven't brought myself to go buy it. But before we do that, at the end, he has another one-pager that's not on Chumash. I'll get there in a minute. Not a minute. At the end. And that was the basis of my second letter to Chaim Kanievsky. Okay. So we're not going to discuss my letters, but this letter I will discuss. It caused an uproar. I did not intend it to cause an uproar, but it caused an uproar a little bit in the Olam HaYeshivas, and it was in the, I brought it in here, Yud Adar Toshin Samach Dalet. Okay, that's when I wrote. I was learning in the mirror at the time, and we had to clarify something that he wrote there on this one page stuck in the middle of the time of the Kra. Many people don't even know it was there. Someone showed it to me, and we wrote about it, and then a lot of other people got a hold of the letter, and I'll discuss that at the end. Okay, so that's just to bring us in a little bit to just appreciate what different things that he writes about over here in the Sefer. Isn't just an Ashkafa piece in Parshas Pinchas. He writes that he quotes from the Dubli Magid. That, again, they're very rare Divrei Torah in there. Like, Divrei Torah, I mean, that you would want to say over to the standard person on Shabbos. Some of them are a little bit, like, detail-oriented. But there are some other things in there as well. I mean, the whole thing's amazing. Okay, sorry. But anyway, he quotes from the Dubna Magid that asked the Gra. The Dubna Magid asked the Gra, in what way he could be Mashpia Tzaddik on his generation. So the Gra answered him, gave him a mushel. He said that if you have a kli, if you have a cup, right, and that's totally full to the top, so ultimately it starts to fall over because the famous, I'm sure you've heard this a million times, it came from the Gra, said to the Dubna Magid, printed in the time of the Kra, Parshas Pinchas, that you have the cup and you fill it up, so it's up to the top and it finally falls over to everything else. And he said that's what Chazal say in the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva in the Medrash Rabbah, that immediately it was Amdu Milu Kol Eretz Yisrael Torah, that the Torah was spread over on all the Talmidim after they became Shleimim on their own, they became full. So on its own, there was a tremendous amount of Hashpa. And then Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky adds on that he saw this by the Chazon Ish, that even though the Chazon Ish sat hidden in his room day and night, at the end of the day, he ended up being mashpia on the entire world, the Chazon Ish. So that was something that he writes in Parshas Pinchas. In Parshas Kiseitze, and this one is okay, just shows you his godless. So in Parshas Kiseitze, he writes, he quotes, the pasuk says, "V'kasa sefer krisa," talks about a get that you give to a woman, that someone gives to a woman to get divorced. So the Gra said, it said in the name of the Gra, that why is a get called a get? Okay, well, I never would have thought to ask such a question. But they asked the Gra, why do you call it a get? So he says, because the Gra said, because the letters Gimel and Tet aren't found anywhere in any pasuk ever next to each other. I mean, all the other letters are found next to each other, but the Gimel and the Tet are never next to each other, and therefore, those letters represent distancing, because they're never next to each other. And therefore, it's called the Get, because those two letters are not anywhere. It's amazing, right? And that's anyone who learns Maseches Gittin, that's one of the first things you ever hear. Why are they called the Get? Because the Gra said that those two letters are never apart. However, Rechaim Kanievsky points out that, but that's not true. because there are three other permutations of letters that don't show up in any of Tanakh. Gimel Kuf, Zayin Tet, and Zayin Tzadi Sofit. Isn't anywhere. So why don't we call the document a Zat, or a Gak, or a Zat? Right? It's nowhere. Those three are nowhere in Kol HaTorah. Now, can you understand what that means? Reb Kanievsky was new. And when you see or hear about the Gemara, you're like, wow, that's amazing. You know, that's a Gemara. Like, that's amazing. And all of a sudden, Reb Kanievsky had three more that is nowhere. So he doesn't say, oh, like, let me tell you the three more. He asks that as a kasha on the Gemara. He's bothered. How could the Gemara have said that the Gimel Tet has a reason it's called a get if there are three more things in Kol HaTorah Kula that aren't next to each other? And he has an answer. He says, because Gimel Tet is the first of those permutations. Ain't a Hanami, therefore, but Gimel Tet, because the next one is Gimel Kuf. Kuf comes after Tet. So Gimel Tet are the first permutations of letters that don't find anywhere in Kol HaTorah Kula, and therefore, but can you imagine that he knew that? So someone once went to Reb Chaim Kanievsky and he asked him, said, how did you remember, like, how when you learn, right, you know every letter, how do you do that? So he said, no, I don't know that from my learning. What I did was I thought, you know, where in Tanakh is there an Aleph and an Aleph next to each other? And then I said, where is there an Aleph and a Beis? And then I said, where is there an Aleph Gil? I went through the whole thing and I saw that there was no Gak, Zat, and Zat. That's an unbelievable Maisa. Okay, that's, anyway, that is in the time of the Kra, Parshas Ki Seitei. Okay. Unbelievable. In Parshas Nitzavim, for example, he says, the pasuk says, "Vayashlichem el eretz acheres kayom azeh." The Bnei Yisrael get kicked out of Eretz Yisrael. Vayashlichem, they'll be cast aside. So the lamed in the word Vayashlichem is a big lamed. So yes, why is the lamed a big lamed? And he says it's a remez to lamed shloshim, is gematria 30. It's a gematria of the 10. When Bnei Yisrael were going to Golas, the Gemara says in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Aleph, like he quotes, that there are 10. Masos, 10 travels, that the Shekhinah goes into Golas, and then the Sanhedrin also went into 10 stages of Golas, and also Bnei Yisrael went into 10 stages. So to represent the 10, 10, 10, the 30 is marked big in this word, Vayash Lichim, El Eretz Acheres Kayom Azeh. We'll get to this week's parsha in a minute. And another one, this is one of my favorites. Again, these are just based on little psukim, little words, little letters, I'm saying, but the pasuk says when it talks about taking a bribe. So the pasuk says in Parshas Mishpatim, it's visaleif devrei tzadikim, that someone who takes shochad ki hashochad yaver nei pichim visaleif devrei tzadikim, it blinds you. Okay. So the word tzadikim is spelled the way we thought it'd be spelled, tzadi dalid yud kuf yud mem. But the Reb Chaim Kanievsky points out that nowhere else is the word spelled that way. It's always missing a yud. Okay, it never has the kuf yud, the tzadi dalid yud, kuf yud mem. You don't have the two yuds in there. It's always one yud missing. So he asks, why over here is it spelled male? Is it spelled full with both yuds? So he says, because the Gemara says in Ksuvis enough, kuf heim abeis, that even a tzadi gomer, if he takes a bribe, he is going to be blinded. Meaning normally, people, really, there's no such thing as a tzadi gomer. We say, "Ain't tzaddik bar tashel lo yachata." No thing is, no one's perfect, right? But the Gemara says, even if there was a tzaddik gomer, a complete tzaddik, if he would take a bribe, it's going to blind his ability to see the truth. So therefore, the Torah over here writes the word tzaddikim in its full to teach you that even if there was a full tzaddik, perfect tzaddik, even he, if he would take a bribe, it would be blinded. And based on the Gemara in Ksuvis and Daf Kufhei, Amud Beis. Okay. Parsha Shmini. Hey, this week's Parsha. So let's learn a couple from here. He said, the Pasuk says in Perek Tes Pasuk Yud Beis, Vayishchadis Ha'olah, Vayamtziu B'nei Aaron Eilav. So the sons of Aaron, they shechted the Olah, Vayamtziu, and they showed it to Aaron. And then, and there, the word Vayamtziu is missing a Yud. Okay. But then he points out that right after that, it says, V'es Ha'olah, by the emur, by carrying all the limbs, not the blood, the limbs of the body. It says, Vayimtziu, that they brought it to Aaron. And there it says, Vayimtziu with a yud. So, basic question, how come here there is a yud? How come there is a yud? Again, now, these are one of these questions that, like, first of all, even if you would have noticed it, Weiter, right? It's nothing, what are you going to do with that one? Like, it's not, that's the Masorah. That's what we would have said. That's our Masorah, right? It's not, that wouldn't have been a kash. If someone would have asked you, you would have had, okay. So he says, we have to answer that. So he says, it's a very big difference. Because, you know, like, of course, in the Mishnah of Maseches Yoma, it says that when it comes to the blood, so that could be with one kohen. He could bring it. But when it comes to bringing all the limbs of the animal, so that you need many, many different kohanim to carry the whole thing. So therefore, he says, that since a lot of people carrying it, so therefore Yamtziu is with a yud to make it bigger, to make it show that many more people were involved in bringing it to Aaron. Okay, here, this one's amazing. He says that the word beged, the psukim at the end of this parasha talk about clothing or garb or pieces of material that become tame. Okay? So how big does a piece of material have to be to be tame? So a beged has to be gimel al gimel, 3x3. That's bows, right? 3x3. So 3x3 means that the area is 9. 3 times 3 is 9, right? That's the gematria beged. Okay, that's what he points out. And then he says, and let me tell you something else from my father, the stipler, Shlita. Okay, this was a long time ago. But he says that sock is also a type of a material. So there the shear is 4 tfachim by 4 tfachim. Okay? So 4 tfachim by 4 tfachim is, and a tefach is 4 gold limb. That's the size of a tefach. So therefore, like the Gemara says in Menachos and Daf Mem Aleph, and therefore in 4 tfachim is really 20 etzbos, 20 finger breasts, right? Al esrim etzbos. So you have 20 by 20 because it's 4 gold limb, but 5 of the skinnier fingers. Okay, so 5 times 4 is 20. So it's 20 by 20, which equals 400, which is the gematria of sak. That was a stipler's addition. And then he added, and also, or if you have a piece of leather, so there the size is chamisha tfachim al chamisha tfachim, 5 by 5, which is 25 squared. So that is or. Or is roshei tevos, ayin esrim, 20, vav vichamisha, 5, 25, resh ribu ayin, squared. Okay, so that's the 25. And then he pointed out that it's also the same gematria as Ko'ama Katana. Fine. Then a Mappets is a different size. It's a different gematria. Fine. He, right away, he's like, in all the letters and everything to remember the sizes of all these different begadim. Then, another one, he says, the Pasuk says, Mikola ochel asher yachel, asher yavo alav mayim yitma. That if you have a food that gets wet, water falls on it, so now it can become a mikabel tuma. That's, if you touch it, comes tame, because it got wet. So it says over there, the word yavo with a vav. Normally the word yavo is spelled yud, bet, aleph, with no vav. Here, it's spelled with a vav. So why is there a vav over here? So he says, berov ha-Torah. Rov ha-Torah, maybe, I guess it's spelled somewhere else. Because rov ha-Torah, the majority of the Torah, it's chaser, it doesn't have the vav. So why here is there a vav? Yesh lomer shebal ha-rameis, sheish od vav mashkim. There are another 6 types of liquids besides water that also could allow the food to become royal kabel tuma, meaning there's 7 mashkim, there's 7 types of liquids that if they fall onto the food they could become tame. Water is just one of them. So here it says yavo mayim as the vav, extra vav there to teach you that's mayim, water, and then another 6 things that would fall on. So again, he's showing in the halacha in these things. Again, this is all over the place. I'm just picking some. We'll say fun ones, we'll call it. But it's mamish amazing, and the chizik that you get from seeing it here is, for me, again, everyone can take their own thing from here, I see that like any little detail that you always thought, oh, this was an impossibility, and it's not a shkafic question, it's not this. Every little letter of the Torah, every little nuance of a difference, anything, is loaded. And Rechaim Kineski was, I don't know anyone else that knows, I haven't seen any sefer like this. I guess that's what Rechavsky Abramsky was saying, that it's only a yachid in the door could do that. But there are answers to everything. We have to have bitachon, that the Torah is Torah HaKadosha, and there's a strong Masorah of the Torah. Like, it's all there. You just, Hashem gives us the matana once in a blue moon to find the person that is able to reveal for us all of these things. Okay. We'll jump, I guess, to the... Only 2 more minutes. So we'll jump to the end. So after the Sefer Time of the Kra, there's a page. Okay, it's 2 pages. It's called Hanhagos v'horos merana chazonish atzal shmat in pi imi marasi. Again, the Rechaim Kinsky's mother was a sister of the Chazanish. Okay? So it was his mother's yortzeit, so he wanted to put something out. So he wrote a page of things that he heard from his mother in the name of the Chazanish. Okay? That's a very, very important thing there. So over there, he says, in Sifkat and Yud Beis, it says, Ein lahorid b'shabes ha-pirurim v'apisoles mel shulchan b'yadayim. A person, when he's cleaning off his table on Shabbos, this is a muksa question, okay? A person shouldn't use his hand to clean off crumbs and other garbage on there. And I guess like a broom or something that is made for cleaning. Instead, he should go ahead and use another item. Another item like a handkerchief or something like that, or a paper towel or something. Napkin, that's what I wanted, that was the word, napkin, thank you. Okay, a napkin, you can go ahead and take a napkin and use it. Okay. Now, what's he coming to say over here? So, in many of the, I was learning Muksa at the time, in the Mir, and in many of the Kitzer Hilchos Muksa Svarim, it says as follows. There's a famous machlokes, I'm not going to get into this right now. There's a machlokes about, are you allowed to, things that are muksa, can you move it al yidei davar acher? Can you go ahead and move it with something else? Because it's not your hand. You're using something else, so can you move it? So the taz is mekel. They're allowed to go ahead and use like a napkin or something like that. And the chazanish in his sefer was mega machmir. It rises all over the place that you can't do that. Because really it's like an extension of your hand. Like, what's the big difference? At the end of the day, your hand is moving the whole thing. So very nice. You're wearing a glove and you didn't touch it with your skin, right? But at the end of the day, you moved the napkin and you moved the whole thing. Okay, so the chazanish is machmir. So the kitzer svarim bring down that it's true that in the sefer chazanish, he was machmir. But you see that his own sister said that, you know, you shouldn't use your hand, but you could use a napkin. So you see that he was mekel, and therefore, halacha l'maisa, even if you'd want to, you know, learn it, you'd learn like the chazanish, you could be mekel. Okay. So at the time, I was learning with a massive Talmud Chacham, mega big. He said to me, I told him, I said, you should know the chazanish was mekel. He said, impossible. It's impossible. He said, it can't be that, you know, you learn the Sefer Chazanish and you see he's bringing rice from all shots. It can't be that afterwards he was lenient, like a kilo against everything that he learned. That's not how it works. It can't be. Now, you have to understand, the Chazanish was lenient in a lot of things. In Shemitah, in a lot of areas, the Chazanish was mekel. People think, oh, you're so machmer. A lot of areas he was mekel. Whatever he saw in the Torah, that's what he did. So he said, it's impossible. So I said, let me show you. It says it over here that he was mekel. And I said, and look at all these kitzur svarim. I showed him. I said, they all bring down that even though in the Sefer Chazanish he was machmir not to use the napkin, but here he says you could clean off the table with a napkin. So the person that I was with at the time, he said, that's not what it says. I said, oh, what the kitzur svarim say? And I said, it's over here. What do you mean it doesn't say it? He says, it doesn't say it. He's coming to be machmir. Here he's coming to be machmir. I'm like, what? I said, I can't promise because it's not clear. But if I had to bet, he's talking about what we call graf shel re'i, something that's disgusting. Something that's disgusting, you're allowed to move with your hands. It's not muksa. Something that's mom's gross, you're allowed to, bothering the smell, whatever it is, you're allowed to move it out with your hands. So he's talking about that, and he's being machmir, that even that, you shouldn't use your hands, you should use something else. And I'm like, look, the major big people, poskim, that wrote in their kitzur svarim that's not what it says here. You know, I was torn. So this is my second letter. So this is when I realized, like, what am I, an idiot? I just ask him. I just ask Reb Chaim Kanievsky. Now, just that alone is an amazing thing. I just, the gadol ador, okay, and like, you could just say, yeah, I could just ask him. You know what that means? You know, if you have like a question about like what the President of the United States said, did he say like this or not? I'll just ask him. It's impossible. Here, the Gadol Hador, you could just ask him. You could just send a letter on Motzei Shabbos, and on Thursday, you will get a response. So I wrote a letter. Okay, I had a few other things to write in there also. But that was my letter. And I asked, I said, question number one. It says, B'sefer Taima Dekra, Kasev De'ein Lahorid B'Shabbat HaPirurim V'Apsolas Ma'Shulchan B'Yadayim, Shouldn't put it with your hands. You should use something else. So I asked, Haim kavana hi lahachmir? Did you mean to be machmir? The afa pi, that even though shu graf shere, it's a disgusting thing on the table, tzarech lahorid idea niyar davrach, you must use something else, and you're not allowed to use your hand. Oh, or did you mean hakavana lahakel? You meant to be lenient, kidasa taz, like the taz, the bitzarech lishtamish, but makum, when you need the area on the table, shemanach sham ha'atzamos, the bones or the leftovers are there on the table, you're allowed to go ahead and scrape it off with a davar acher, like a knife, or something like that. So I asked him, coming to be machmir, you're coming to be makel. And he wrote back, hakavana lahachmir. He meant to be machmir. I'm like, wow. So the person that I went to, like the Tamachal that I went to, he's like, of course that's what I meant. I told you that. He's like, he didn't understand like why I was. I'm like, you don't understand. So what did I do? So then I wrote a letter. This was one of the most amazing things that ever happened in my life. I started writing a letter to all these other people that wrote these svarim. And I said, you should know, I wrote a letter to Chaim Knievsky and he told me that's not what he meant over here. And one guy sent me his cell number. Not one guy. One gadol asked me, this guy gave me a cell number that I should call him. Do you want to discuss it with me? Another one wrote me back. I have a collection of everyone's responses. Okay. That was part one of the story. But I was in the mirror and it became a big hawk. Everyone was hawking about it. So in the Otzer Asfarim, in the library over there, so there was someone reviewing the Sefer Orchel Shabbos. Orchel Shabbos became one of the major Kitzur Svarim on Hilchos Shabbos. Super easy to read and gives you the alumnus behind things and the sources. It's really, really amazing. And it was Matzliach, Baruch Hashem, in our door. Now it's up to, I think, it's fourth volume. So volume two was about to come out. Volume two is about Muktza. So there was someone proofreading the book. So he heard that I got a letter from Chaim Knievsky about Muktza. So and obviously in Orchel Shabbos it said that even though in the Chazim said to be machmir, in the book it said to be mekel. So I showed him the letter, and he couldn't believe it. Someone else wrote another letter, I have a copy of it, to Chaim Knievsky. Again, basically asking the exact same question, just switched around the words a little bit, just to make sure. And it came out the exact same way, that he was coming to be machmir about a graf sharei, and chas v'shalom not to be mekel, like the Taz, not different than the Chazim and the Sefer. And in the Orchel Shabbos, Chelek Beis, it's brought down that the Chazon Ish was machmir, and in the footnote it says, and even though some people quote that it means to be mekel, based on a letter to Chaim Knievsky, it says over there that his kavana was a hachmir. This is an amazing thing. Now, okay, it's interesting, limud, I guess, but by me, the limud's a side point. The fact that I was able to just write a letter to Chaim Knievsky and get an answer, and then we had to ask a second letter afterwards, I was like, that's amazing. That's an amazing thing. The accessibility that people had. I understand that people want to go visit. It was hard to get in and things like that. I got that. But the Etzem, he was available. And when he could, he would. He really, it's a tremendous chizuk to us. Sometimes we get a little bit, it bothers us to be around people or get annoyed and things like that. His minute, halavai, is anything close to our 45 minutes or an hour that we try to give us a person. To take a chizuk from this, first of all, to pay attention to every little detail in the Torah and realize even if you have a kasha and even if there's something that looks a little interesting to you, we'll call it, you have to realize that you have to have a tremendous amun and bitachon, that there's a lot there and there are people out there that can answer. We have to try to access that and find it and daven to Hashem that he should send us the answer that we want to have. And the accessibility to be able to answer our questions was really a tremendous sign of anivus and godless in the highest level. That a godless doesn't mean just to stay up and away, it means to connect to the people, and that's what he did through these letters. Okay, Bez Hashem, we'll try to continue. Shkoyach.